Chapter 30. Now, when I had settled the affairs of Tiberias, and convened a congress of my friends, I took counsel on what should be done about Yohanan. It was indeed the opinion of all the Galileans that everyone should arm himself and march against Yohanan, and bring a rightful punishment on him as being the one responsible for all the seditions. But I, keeping my commitment to quell the disturbances without bloodshed, was not pleased with their decisions. So I exhorted them that utmost care should be exercised in discovering the names of those who were under Yohanan. Now from each city, they obtained for me a list of names of those who had been drawn into the revolt together with Yohanan. This information was readily given by their fellow citizens. Now, when I had determined who these men were, I issued a proclamation in which I extended a pledge and my right hand to those with Yohanan who desired to have a change of mind. And I granted a period of 20 days to those who desired to take counsel about what was advantageous for themselves. But I also threatened both to burn their homes with their families inside, and to confiscate their possessions if they did not throw down their weapons and abandon Yohanan. Now when the men heard these things, they became extremely disturbed, and they deserted Yohanan. Indeed, immediately 4,000 in number deserted him, and after throwing down their weapons at my feet, came over to me. But only the citizens remained with Yohanan, as well as 2,000 Syrian refugees, which included about 1,500 foreigners from the metropolis of Tyre. Therefore, indeed, when Yohanan saw that he had been outgeneraled by me in this way, he and his followers drew back from open plots in favor of covert schemes. And from this time onward, Yohanan, out of great fear of me, remained in his fatherland, Gish Halav, confined within its walls. Now about this time, the Zipporites, emboldened by the fortification of their walls, and observing me preoccupied with other pursuits, took up arms. So they sent to Kestios Galus, who was the commander of Syria, urging him either to come quickly himself and take the city under his protection, or to send them a garrison. Now Galus indeed promised that he would come, but he did not clarify when this would be. As soon as I discovered these things, I myself took up the soldiers who were with me and attacked Zippori, capturing their city by storm. Now I wanted, by plundering them, to admonish them. But then, by the return of their money, to regain their goodwill. But the Galileans also seized this opportunity as a proper time to vent their hatred, for they were also harboring animosity against this city. So they attacked as though they would completely obliterate everyone, including the settlers. Therefore, they rushed in, and finding their houses uninhabited, they set them on fire. For the men had become anxious and fled to the summit city. But the Galileans looted everything and omitted no form of devastation against their compatriots. As I observed these things, I was very painfully distressed and ordered them to cease, reminding them that it was not sacred to treat compatriots in such ways. But they would listen neither to my appeals nor to what I had ordered. For hatred was vanquishing my exhortations. So, I directed the most trustworthy of my friends around me to spread the word that Romans were invading through a different part of the city with a large force. Now I did these things so that when the declaration spread abroad, I would both restrain the impulses of the Galileans, but preserve the city of the Zipporites. And in the end, this stratagem succeeded. For when they heard this message, they feared for themselves. And leaving behind the plunder, they fled. But especially when they found me, their general, doing these same things. For I supported the credibility of the declaration by pretending to share their distress. Now this was how the Zipporites were unexpectedly rescued by this contrivance of mine. But Tiberias was also nearly plundered by the Galileans for the following reason. The principal men from the council wrote to the king, appealing for him to come to them and take the city under his protection. Now the king kept promising to come, and he wrote letters in reply, which he gave to a certain man of his bedroom to carry to the Tiberians. Indeed, his name was Crispus, but he was a Judean by race. When the Galileans discovered that this man had brought the documents, they arrested him and brought him to me. But when the entire multitude heard about this, they were provoked and took up arms. Now on the following day, many gathered together from every quarter and came into the city of Shechem, where I was then lodging. And they made loud outcries, calling Tiberias a traitor and a friend of the king. They also asked me to authorize them to come down in order to altogether obliterate them. For even they were harboring animosity against the Tiberians, as they had against the Zipporites. Now when I heard about this, I was at a loss as to how I might spare Tiberias from the Galileans' anger. For I could not deny that the Tiberians had written an invitation to the king, for the response he wrote to them exposed the truth. Therefore, after being in deep thought for a while, I said, "The Tiberians have acted unrighteously, as I am well aware. Now, I will not deter you from plundering their city. But even such things must be done with discretion. For the Tiberians were not the only betrayers of your freedom. Instead, so were many of the most esteemed men in Galilee. So wait until I can find out precisely who the instigators are. Then you will have them all at your mercy, along with as many as you are able to bring forward on your own account. By saying these things, I persuaded the multitude, and when they had stilled their anger, they disbanded. Now I directed that the man who had been sent from the king be put in chains. A few days later, I pretended that some pressing obligation of my own required me to leave the kingdom. So I summoned Crispus in secret, ordering him to make the soldier who guarded him drunk, and then escape to the king, for he would not be pursued. And indeed, convinced by these commitments, he escaped. Now this was how, when Tiberias was about to face obliteration for the second time, she escaped this imminent danger through my generalship and foresight.